sports with balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, everyone. Orioles are off today. Scheduled first one in 2 weeks. Only one day off in June. Birds did go 17-12 during that hellacious month. They leave it in first place by percentage points in the American League East. Seattle tomorrow. And we'll get into that later on in the program with Peter Schmuck from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Ravens start training camp in just 3 weeks. Rookies will be there in a couple. Quarterbacks injured veterans will be there on the 15th here to talk about that more. Get his thoughts on the team heading into a very difficult schedule on paper, a very difficult conference in the AFC, and a very difficult division, which is the AFC North, from BaltimoreBeatdown.com, from BaltimoreRavens.com. Let's welcome back Kyle Phoenix. Kyle, what's happening on this lovely Monday morning?
Just waiting to talk with you two.
Well, the wait is over, Kyle Phoenix. Now, Marlon Humphrey, only 27 years old, seems older than that because he's been around for quite some time. How big of a season is this going to be for him in regards to maintaining a status within this organization?
Right. I think it's important, you know, the fiscal amount that he gets paid and the performance that he has been, you know, to say it fairly, would be lacking. There needs to be a coming together, and he needs to be able to put up numbers. And I think, you know, shutting down wide receivers has been his game, and his ability to do so hasn't been the same, and he's been going through injury. And overall, this is a season that is kind of shaping up well for him to be able to do that and make a comeback. He has talented guys around him. He's talented himself. Honestly, if he just stays healthy, I think that's the only true factor on it, because Humphrey does just about everything right when he is on the field and has some consistency in staying on the field.
Now, Kyle, staying with the cornerback position, tell me and our listeners why we should be a little more optimistic about Jalen Armour-Davis and Pepe Williams heading into their third seasons.
Well, I think, you know, one of those guys is going to have to step up and make a play. You know, somebody is going to have to step up in training camp and in preseason, and that's where we're going to see something evolve with one of them. As for the optimism on them, I mean, Jalen Armour-Davis had a good camp. I think Pepe Williams had a decent one, as far as mini camp goes, of course. And I'm curious to see just where they can take it from there. I thought Jalen Armour-Davis had a really excellent camp. He was on one of my, you know, stock report winners just because of him getting a lot of first team reps when a couple of the guys were out during OTAs, just because of the attendance and the voluntary basis of everything. So I think that there's an opportunity for those guys. I think there's a lot of pressure on them too, though. I don't think that it's by accident the Ravens drafted Nate Wiggins and TJ Tampa and re-signed Arthur Millett and made moves with that secondary. So there's a lot of pressure on those two young guys to kind of evolve and take that step that is so necessary for both of them.
Hey, Kyle, which injured guys or which guys have to be there on the 15th other than the quarterbacks?
I don't specifically know. I assume anybody that probably has to be on that on PUP or NFI, I would imagine that's probably the list. I don't have it like as a guaranteed information, but that would be my assumption, is that anybody that's like NFI or player unable to perform would probably have to be on that list.
Would you think Humphrey's going to be there?
That's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see how that operates though, because maybe he's not. Maybe he just was banged up. Now he's back. He's going to be good to go. He doesn't need to show up early like that with the early report for injured guys. And I think maybe he arrives on the day of and he's set to go. You know, that was kind of how – I know it's been a little bit of a mystery as far as everything went, but he kind of said that he was just on just an NBA player program and saying that he was getting a couple rest days for minicamp. So maybe that's the thing. It's just, you know, he's taking it very cautious very early, but once they get to training camp, he's good to roll. Harbaugh kind of mentioned that, you know, he expects him to be here for training camp and for everything to work smoothly. So maybe that's the thing, you know. I think that could be a possibility.
Now, Kyle, I'm guessing that anybody could show up on the 15th if they want to report early. Is that because that's the way it used to be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys, yeah, you can show up when you need and take care of business. There's definitely been players in the past and recently of our past years that have showed up early to try and get some extra work in and to get back into better shape. Maybe they took the offseason a little bit too easy.
Yeah. Kyle, if there's one guy that I think would benefit, Bob and I talked about it earlier before you came on, there's one guy that definitely could benefit from it would be Rashad Bateman.
I think Bateman should be there a little early personally.
Yeah, you know, the 14th.
Be there waiting for him to unlock the door.
That's the guy that I think there's – he has the skills, he has the talent. It's just about getting – you know, maybe, you know, it's just about working with Lamar specifically and just getting with him.
Yep.
I don't know. I think that's the only thing, really, is because we've all seen the talent level that Rashad Bateman has. We've all seen the highest of his skill ceiling is impeccable. It's just about working together with Lamar and with Todd Monken, maybe it's a three person thing. It's not just a two person connection between Jackson and Bateman, but maybe it's involving with Monken and seeing how he can help them, because, you know, in this offense, maybe that's something that's important is how Monken sees it. And if he can give it a fresh perspective on really how to involve everybody and get those big deal options to Bateman. Maybe that's what it is.
Now, give me your impression of Cleveland and Falele, and are they part of the answer?
You know, you and I have talked about Falele back and forth, I think all summer, all off season. You and I have talked about it. I had higher hopes on him and expectations than you've had. And, you know, after mini camp, and everything, my belief in him dwindled marginally because, you know, he struggled at times just to stay within the practice and upright at times. He had a rough day, you know, and that could be due to a litany of reasons. Maybe he worked out in the morning. Maybe he just didn't have good hydration. You know, all those factor in because he's just such a big guy. But, you know, I expect that Roger Rosengarten is going to be more involved in the starting rotation, but, you know, maybe Falele can step up because that's how he did it in his rookie year. Remember, is he was struggling in camp and he was, you know, he couldn't stay, you know, consistent with his conditioning. And all of a sudden he gets ready for training camp, passes the conditioning test right away, and he looks so much better. So maybe he stayed around and is working on himself and that. I don't know about Ben Cleveland. You know, what Joe D'Alessandris kind of said, the Ravens offensive line coach, that's what stuck out to me is, like, you know, when he gets in the games, he tends to play well. It's just we haven't seen enough from him, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, of course. But, you know, there's some curious aspects to Ben Cleveland's game. He has good performances in games, but also in practices, inconsistency and uncertainty and maybe there's a lack of chemistry with his line mates or something. I don't know. But overall, I would say that I'd probably, if you had to say for these two guys, I'd say Falele is above him in terms of being the answer. And I'm curious to see when an offensive line signing happens, because I feel like we're just all kind of expecting it at this point.
Now, with Justin Tucker, kind of what I've noticed the last couple of years, there's less and less over 50, and not as good a percentage over 50 as he has been in the past.
I mean, a little bit to your point, yes. There is some toughness to Tucker not hitting from 50-plus as frequently or consistently. It's funny because I was just I'm doing an article on NFL kickers right now anyways. But, you know, that's a way that – Tucker, doesn't have that incredible Herculean perfection leg anymore, but he's still darn good at what he's doing.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's just, I think 2022 was just such a crazy season as to what we expected out of him. And that, you know, he took 14 50-plus attempts in 2022. You know, so 2023, he goes down to 5 attempts, and we're surprised by it, but he only went 1 for 5. And part of that is just due to the surrounding aspects of it. Some of it is just really hard. And Tucker also takes kicks from further than anybody else in the NFL. I mean, I've done the math on it. He's the only kicker in the NFL who's average miss distance is greater than 50 yards, and he still has the most accurate leg in the NFL. So, you know, while the 50-plus may not be as consistent right now, I would be confident in him being able to get back to form more than anybody else in the NFL. You can have that kind of confidence in Tucker.
Kyle Phoenix, tell our listeners what's happening at Baltimore Beatdown, a couple of weeks away from rookies reporting to one winning drive.
Yeah, we're working on some things, trying to get, you know, maybe some more community-related articles in the process, get some questions out for the fans. That way, because while there may not be a whole lot of news going on right now, we can still talk Ravens and build and ramp up. So, you know, as John Harbaugh loves to say at times, we're going to ramp this up, and then we're going to hit training camp hard. So make sure to stay tuned at BaltimoreBeatdown.com.
Kyle, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy your 4th of July week, and we'll catch up with you once training camp starts here in a couple of weeks.
Take care, gentlemen.
All right, thanks,
Take
Kyle.
There's
Kyle Phoenix, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. What happened in the world of sports over the weekend? Well, a lot. Stay tuned for that. Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Talk about Mike Locksley's busy weekend when it came to getting verbal commitments for his college football program. And also a couple of Terps basketball players got paid handsomely. Then a fun house trip with our rich and famous guy, Nolan McGraw.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this whip around this Monday. Baltimore, Maryland, Orioles off today after losing last night 11-2. Texas Rangers do it to them on national TV. Wyatt Langford hits for the cycle. Derek Hill hits 2 home runs, so the Orioles get their pants pulled down. A little spankage, little red butt cheeks on ESPN. Gunnar Henderson did say he's going to participate in the Home Run Derby, and that's all great. We'll talk about that more with the American League East report coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. NHL draft was Friday night, and number one pick was the San Jose Sharks. And Macklin Celebrini, was any stunner there? Was he kind of the
dude?
No,
it was always, that's been pretty much known since last year.
What's his skill set here?
He's a forward. He's a forward. Bob, he played at BU this past year, and he was the Hobie Baker winner as a freshman. So, I mean, he was the most talented kid, you know, coming out. His dad works for the Sharks, too, in some capacity there. So, yeah, I don't. It'll be interesting to see, Bob, if they play him right away or he goes back to BU for another year.
Now, the Capitals at 17 take Tarek, what's that, Parascat?
Parascat, yeah.
And he's 18-year-old right winger, and strengths, weaknesses there for the Caps, who I don't say they've been whiffing with a lot of their draft picks, but and there's a reason they're always among the oldest teams in the National Hockey League.
Well, he was the 17th pick. Bobby's a right winger. He's a Canadian kid, you know. I mean, they took 2 from the U.S. One was a goalie from the U.S. team, and then Cole Hudson, a defenseman from BU, you know. And Hudson's a smaller guy, and his brother is a real good player, too. I think he's in the NHL. But the goalie they got, you know, I mean, he'll be in the system for a while. So you never know about these drafts, Bob. I mean, just like you said, with the Caps, they haven't done well lately.
Since Ovi.
And Backstrom. Ovi, right, Backstrom, right. And all those guys. I mean, they well, when you're picking first, they're picking 17th, it's a crapshoot.
Caps did trade for Logan Thompson, goalie with the Vegas Golden Knights 2 years ago. It was really good. 2024 third and a 25 third. So Kemper's gone. I guess he's the replacement.
Yep, another veteran guy come in because, Bob, they have some veteran. You know, they have some guys from the Hershey team, the AHL, that they brought up and down throughout the year. They played a game or two, but he'll bring consistency if something were to happen to Kemper.
All right, we were talking about this earlier with Ray in Baltimore. A couple of fights over the weekend down in D.C. Friday night. Lamont Roach defended his WBA Super Featherweight Championship, eighth round TKO over Fiergal McCrory. And then Teofimo Lopez, unanimous 12-round decision against Steve Claggett. He defends his WBO Junior Welterweight Championship. And, you know, Lopez won 11 of the 12 rounds, I guess. But it was a spirited affair for sure. You could tell that old Teofimo ate a little bit of leather. He was calling out Terrence Crawford and Tank Davis. We'll see. I mean, he seems to rise to the occasion, as we saw against Josh Taylor and Vasily Lomachenko a couple years ago. We'll see if there's still that level of performance left in there somewhere. NBA, a couple of Maryland players got paid. P-A-Y-E-D. Paid. And one of them's a Baltimore kid.
Brown, Toppin, Smith, Bruce Brown to the basket. But a host of Jazz are there, but Mathurin gets it. Leaves it off for Smith, who dunks it, and a foul.
Bally Sports, Jalen Smith sticks. 3-year deal with the Chicago Bulls. $27 million. He declined his player option for $5.4. Indiana paid Obi Toppin, so it's all kind of making sense here. Jalen Smith played really well for a long time for them. Spot starting for Miles Turner. Guy shot 42% from beyond the arc. I mean, when he's playing well, he's the prototypical stretch four. His minutes dwindle in the playoffs, barely played against the Knicks in the semifinal series. Now he goes to Chicago, a team that got Josh Giddey from Oklahoma City, trying to remake them some things. They're trying to unload Zach LaVine with limited success. So opportunity perhaps for Andre Drummond left. So it could be an opportunity for him to not only play, maybe start. Aaron Wiggins, another former Terp, played for Terp legend Keith Gatlin. In high school, 5 years, $47 million to stick around OKC, which is the budding powerhouse in the NBA's Western Conference. Speaking of OKC, Isaiah Hartenstein, former Knick, he signs a 3-year deal, a little $87 million. Bring it on home. How about Paul George getting 4 years, 21 per 212 mil with the Sixers, and because of that, Tobias Harris is taking his cheese goldfish to Detroit there, Nolan. And he got 2 years of $50-some million. Let that sink in.
It's crazy.
I mean, Tobias Harris is a good player. And the Boban commercials, the cheese goldfish, very entertaining. But 25 mil? Right over here. Tyrese Maxey, he gets 204 because he maxed out with the Sixers. And Cade Cunningham maxed out his rookie deal with the Detroit Pistons, over $200 million. It is the whip around here on this Monday. Let's get to the Orioles history real quick. 1983 in Detroit, Todd Cruz was 2-for-3 with a homer and 6 ribbies. Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray went deep. Storm Davis gets the win, 9-5 Birds over the Tigers. 1997, Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Lanny Webster and Rafael Palmeiro go deep. Scott Erickson picked up his 11th win. Randy Myers is 26A, 4-1 Orioles down at the yard. Then 10 years ago today, Oriole Park Cannon Yard, Steve Pierce, Nelson Cruz, Caleb Joseph all go deep. TJ McFarland gets the win as the Orioles beat the Rangers 8-3. We'll come back, talk Maryland football and basketball recruiting with Dave LaMonaco from the Terrapin Times. We got a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. And then coming up at noon, news from the Nest. Vinny's going to break down Lamar Jackson's two MVP seasons. Different in a lot of ways, similar in some, and what 2024 could be all about as well.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
at 880-1057, the fan here on this Monday. What's happening, everybody? Hope you had a great weekend. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Stay tuned for that. News from the Nets coming up at noon. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson's MVP seasons as Vinny does a comparable there. And then Scott Reynolds at 12:30. Pewter Report, talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as we look at the Ravens' schedule. Opponents, that is, 2024. But the Terps, busy, Mike Loxley and his staff over the weekend, especially down at Archbishop Spaulding in Anne Arundel County. And a couple of Terps, as you heard during Nolan's update, got some big old hefty NBA deals. Congratulations to them. Here to talk about that more from TerrapinTimes.com. Let's welcome to the show Dave LaMonaco. Dave, good morning. What is up?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Bob?
Doing all right, man. Appreciate the time. But tell our the quarterback committed on Malik Washington Friday, so we had that one kind of coming around as we were getting ready to get off the air. But work not done at Spaulding. So for people that may not have heard what Mike Loxley and his staff have done, there was Spaulding, and we'll start with Malik Washington. Very successful recruiting weekend for the Terps at that school.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. They've had a connection to Spaulding for a while now. I think it's been five straight classes where they've gotten a recruit out of there. Haven't gotten every top recruit out of there, but have gotten enough where they've established a good rapport. The head coach, obviously, went to Maryland, Kyle Schmidt, and sort of has got it. He doesn't push prospects Maryland's way, but, you know, has a good rapport with the school. So they've had a pretty good connection with them. The recruits seem to like Maryland a lot, and getting Malik Washington is probably the most significant recruit they've not only gotten out of Spaulding, but in several years, just in general. Getting him was pretty big. It was a pretty big deal. And then they also got his teammate, Jaden Shipps. He's a 6'2" cornerback, committed on the same day as Malik. And then a day later, Delmar White, who is a undersized defensive tackle but a wrestler, sort of, a low leverage kind of guy that they sort of pulled in as well. So those were the three guys they got from there. And then they also got two other guys that came in, one from Florida and another guy from locally as well.
Now, David, always helps to get a quarterback out of the way, especially a local kid, four-star. Tell our listeners and a lot of people that follow high school football here and basketball, because he can play the round ball too, but what's his skill set? Is he dual threat? Is he more of a pocket passer? What's he going to be bringing to College Park in a couple of seasons?
Yeah, he's mainly a pocket passer first and foremost. He's going to look to see either sit under center or in that shotgun spread and run that sort of spread offense. And he can do some RPO stuff and make plays with his feet, but he's going to look to pass first. 6'4", 200 pounds, a prototypical guy. He had a lot of big offers. And, you know, Maryland was on him since his freshman year. So this was a guy that they really put a lot of work and time into, and it sort of paid off in the end with his official visit. And then just his regular visits to campus. Very cerebral kid, can spray the ball over the place, make all the throws. Not a conventional thrower. He's going to use different arm angles. Footwork still needs a little honing and things like that, but got a lot of upside and should be a multi-year starter at Maryland if he progresses the way that we think he's going to.
So I'm guessing if they got a four-star quarterback that was being recruited by a lot of other teams, that he got some NIL money.
Yeah, I would think so. We're not privy to exactly how much that is. That information rarely comes out unless the kid offers it. I don't usually ask them that kind of thing. It can be a little taboo sometimes. But he got some dough, I would assume. So
yeah, because you know what I've heard from other coaches is like a good quarterback, it gets about $1.5 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, it varies. Maryland's in a good spot right now with their NIL. Loxley started that a little earlier just on his own. So they're able to throw that around a little bit to some of the guys that they really want. And this was obviously a guy that they had targeted from the beginning. So getting him was huge, and hopefully that leads to, some other local guys following him of significant impact. Which is what they really need. They've picked up on the local recruits. Getting these guys from Spaulding is good, but they really need to get more of these four and five-star instant impact guys that are really going to sort of change the culture of the program.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, here on this Monday as the class starting to take shape. talk about needs that still need to be filled, because I'm going to break out the time-honored old football cliche, the game's won in the trenches. Dave LaMonaco,
yeah.
How's that looking?
No doubt. We're on the same page there. I've always said that it's always Maryland, the DMV area, the Baltimore areas, a lot of skilled players around here, and you can get those guys, but you can almost, you shake a tree and those guys are going to fall out. You're going to get those guys. You need the guys in the trenches. And to get those guys, you kind of need to recruit better out of state, because there's not as many linemen here of instant impact. There's some developmental guys, and every once in a while there'll be a top guy. But, you got to go up to the Midwest. You got to go up to Western Pennsylvania. There's some guys in Florida, and you've got to be able to recruit those areas and pull those guys out, because this is not a great area for linemen. They've done that a little bit. They got two linemen from Florida already, a tackle and a guard. They're developmental guys. They're not, obviously linemen take a little longer to develop, but you're still going to need those type of recruits. It's not great on that end. It's picking up a little bit. It's just a matter of, those guys are not readily available, and they're not right here in your backyard. So you're competing against, the Penn States of the world, the Ohio States, the Michigans, and it's tough to do, especially when you have to go into their territory to try to pull these guys out.
Yeah, the thing that, I've noticed about Maryland is they get 3 stars. They may get an occasional 4 like they just did with Malik, but most times for them to compete against the big boys, they got to develop their guys, and that's why strength coach or, those types of people, they've got to be as important as Mike Locksley.
Oh, 100%, 100%. It comes down to coaching more than anything. And, the jury's out on whether, they brought in a new line coach to team with the guy that was already there, Damon Rublewski. He's had success in the past with his pass stop. So they're hoping that maybe two voices will help them in that area, because it's sort of been lacking on the offensive line. Defensive line has actually been okay. They have some guys up front there that are starting to develop. Jordan Phillips is a guy that looks like he's going to eventually play on Sundays, but it's the other side of the ball on the offensive line that they really need to sort of pick things up. And we'll see if it comes to fruition. They got a couple guys out of Florida, couple local guys that are developmental that they might be able to pull in. We'll see. A lot of competition, but yeah, that's an area of definite that they need to focus on.
Dave LaMonaco, tell our listeners what's happening at TerrapinTimes.com on this Monday.
So it's a dead recruiting period right now for football. They'll probably get, commits will probably come in just as the summer goes on. They've got some kids that are coming in from Friendship Collegiate and some other areas down to D.C. who might commit. So that's always good. So we've got a lot of recruiting news on the football front. And then basketball obviously is picking up too with summer live sessions for AAU and such. We've had guys out there scouting those guys, some of Maryland's top local hoops targets. So we have news on that and football recruiting. And then just previews for fall camp coming up in August. And that's at TerrapinTimes.com.
He's Dave LaMonaco. Dave, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave LaMonaco, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Funhouse. Nolan McGraw coming up next. News from the next top of the hour. Going to look at Lamar's 2 MVP seasons, 19 versus 23, how they compare and what to look forward to perhaps in 2024.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney, Mick Ultra. Drink. Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody? News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who the Ravens face. Scott Reynolds, Pewter Report. Got the American League East Report coming up around 1:15. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Talk some baseball with him as we're less than a month away from the trade deadline. Orioles off tonight after getting a... kind of slapped around a little bit on national TV.
Yeah.
They did win on national TV. Heart-pounding victory at that Saturday on Fox. But 11-2 final score. Wyatt Langford hits for the cycle. Derek Hill hit a couple of homers. 1-3, 6.30 earned run average for Cole Irvin. And he closes his out with a clunker. Goes 3 2/3, 5 hits, 5 runs. Orioles do finish June 17-12. And they're in first place percentage points ahead of the Yankees. Gunnar Henderson. Going to play in the, or he's going to participate, I should say, in the Home Run Derby. And by the way, phase two of the voting began yesterday. I voted during the show. I multitasked, Vinny.
Maybe you can, I will too.
You can only vote once, though. There's no ballot, no ballot box stuffing. You can only vote once. But I hate that microphone. I don't want to hear the players interview during the game. I want them to play baseball. I'm not tuning in to watch Gunner talk about playing video games, Hank Hill word, with Colton Cowser. I want him to not go over 4-4-Ks on national television. But that's just me. By the way, the June of 17 to 12, nine straight months with a winning record for the Orioles. So they're not sneaking up on anybody, and that whole notion is ridiculous to me. They've been good. Their winning percentage is over 600 for 2 years now. Over two calendar years, they're the defending American League champs. They won 101 games last year, and they're on pace to eclipse that here this season. They do need pitching, as we all know. We just wait to see now who could become available. Let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling?
Doing good, actually. Made the last-second decision to go to the game on Saturday night.
How'd you get a ticket?
Resale market. It was, yeah, you're right, technically a sellout. We were sitting there in left field upper deck. Didn't matter what view we had, just to be there for that Kerstad Grand Slam. Amazing moment. One of the best moments I've had at Camden Yards in years, easily.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, he showed out on national TV, had two hits again last night.
Yep.
Heston Kerstad proving he belongs. I mean, as we look at trade chips, real small sample size. With Kerstad, though, but are we more reluctant to deal him than we would have been, say, 3 weeks ago?
Well, now that he's on fire, yeah. The fan base is going to be saying, why would you trade him? But, you know, it is boosting his value if there was to be a trade. So the way that Elias and company feels about him, in my mind, probably hasn't changed over the last week. The way they felt about him before they called him up a couple weeks ago is probably the same way they feel about him now. So they're playing.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Good evening, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. What's happening, everybody? Hope you had a great weekend. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Stay tuned for that. News from the Nets coming up at noon. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson's MVP seasons as Vinny does a comparable there. And then Scott Reynolds at 12:30, Pewter Report. Talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as we look at the Ravens' schedule. Opponents, that is, 2024. But the Terps, busy Mike Loxley and his staff over the weekend, especially down at Archbishop Spaulding in Anne Arundel County. And a couple of Terps, as you heard during Nolan's update, got some big old hefty NBA deals. Congratulations to them. Here to talk about that more from TerrapinTimes.com. Let's welcome to the show Dave LaMonaco. Dave, good morning. What is up?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Bob?
Doing all right, man. Appreciate the time. But tell our the quarterback committed on Malik Washington Friday. So we had that one kind of coming around as we were getting ready to get off the air. But work not done at Spaulding. So for people that may not have heard what Mike Loxley and his staff have done, there was Spaulding. And we'll start with Malik Washington. Very successful recruiting weekend for the Terps at that school.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. They've had a connection to Spaulding for a while now. I think it's been five straight classes where they've gotten a recruit out of there. Haven't gotten every top recruit out of there, but have gotten enough where they've established a good rapport. The head coach, obviously, went to Maryland, Kyle Schmidt, and sort of has got it. He doesn't push prospects Maryland's way, but, you know, has a good rapport with the school. So they've had a pretty good connection with them. The recruits seem to like Maryland a lot, and getting Malik Washington is probably the most significant recruit they've not only gotten out of Spaulding, but in several years, just in general, getting him was pretty big, was a pretty big deal. And then they also got his teammate, Jaden Shipps. He's a 6'2" cornerback committed on the same day as Malik. And then a day later, Delmar White, who is a undersized defensive tackle, but a wrestler, sort of, a low leverage kind of guy that that they sort of pulled in as well. So those were the three guys they got from there. And then they also got two other guys that came in, one from Florida and another guy from locally as well.
Now, David, always helps to get a quarterback out of the way, especially a local kid, four-star. Tell our listeners, and a lot of people that follow high school football here and basketball, because he can play the round ball too. But what's his skill set? Is he dual threat? Is he more of a pocket passer? What's he going to be bringing to College Park in a couple of seasons?
Yeah, he's mainly a pocket passer first and foremost. He's going to look to see either sit under center or in that shotgun spread, and run that sort of spread offense. And he can do some RPO stuff and make plays with his feet, but he's going to look to pass first. 6'4", 200 pounds, prototypical guy. He had a lot of big offers. And, you know, Maryland was on him since his freshman year. So this was a guy that they really put a lot of work and time into, and it sort of paid off in the end with his official visit. And then just his regular visits to campus. Very cerebral kid, can spray the ball over the place, make all the throws. Not a conventional thrower. He's going to use different arm angles. Footwork still needs a little honing and things like that, but got a lot of upside and should be a multi-year starter at Maryland if he progresses the way that we think he's going to.
So I'm guessing if they got a four-star quarterback that was being recruited by a lot of other teams, that he got some NIL money.
Yeah, I would think so. We're not privy to exactly how much that is. That information rarely comes out unless the kid offers it. I don't usually ask them that kind of thing. It can be a little taboo sometimes. But yeah, he got some dough, I would assume. So
yeah, because you know what I've heard from other coaches is like a good quarterback, it gets about $1.5 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, it varies. Maryland's in a good spot right now with their NIL. Loxley started that a little earlier just on his own. So they're able to throw that around a little bit to some of the guys that they really want. And this was obviously a guy that they had targeted from the beginning. So getting him was huge, and hopefully that leads to, some other local guys following him of significant impact. Which is what they really need. They've picked up on the local recruits. Getting these guys from Spalding is good, but they really need to get more of these four and five star instant impact guys that are really going to sort of change the culture of the program.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, here on this Monday as the class starting to take shape. Talk about needs that still need to be filled, because I'm going to break out the time-honored old football cliche, the game's won in the trenches. Dave LaMonaco,
yeah,
how's that looking?
No doubt. We're on the same page there. I've always said that it's always Maryland, the DMV area, the Baltimore areas, a lot of skilled players around here, and you can get those guys, but you can almost, you shake a tree and those guys are going to fall out. You're going to get those guys. You need the guys in the trenches, and to get those guys, you kind of need to recruit better out of state, because there's not as many linemen here of instant impact. There's some developmental guys, and every once in a while there'll be a top guy. But, you got to go up to the Midwest. You got to go up to Western Pennsylvania. There's some guys in Florida, and you've got to be able to recruit those areas and pull those guys out, because this is not a great area for linemen. They've done that a little bit. They got two linemen from Florida already, a tackle and a guard, they're developmental guys. They're not, obviously linemen take a little longer to develop, but you're still going to need those type of recruits. It's not great on that end. It's picking up a little bit. It's just a matter of, those guys are not readily available, and they're not right here in your backyard. So you're competing against, the Penn States of the world, the Ohio States, the Michigans, and it's tough to do, especially when you have to go into their territory to try to pull these guys out.
Yeah, the thing that, I've noticed about Maryland is they get three stars. They may get an occasional four like they just did with Malik. But most times for them to compete against the big boys, they got to develop their guys. And that's why strength coach or, those types of people, they've got to be as important as Mike Loxley.
Oh, 100%. 100%. It comes down to coaching more than anything. And the jury's out on whether, they brought in a new line coach to team with the guy that was already there, Damon Rublewski. He's had success in the past with his pass stop, so they're hoping that maybe two voices will help them in that area, because it's sort of been lacking on the offensive line. Defensive line has actually been okay. They have some guys up front there that are starting to develop. Jordan Phillips is a guy that looks like he's going to eventually play on Sundays. But it's the other side of the ball on the offensive line that they really need to sort of pick things up. And we'll see if it comes to fruition. They got a couple guys out of Florida, couple local guys that are developmental that they might be able to pull in. We'll see. A lot of competition. But, yeah, that's an area of definite that they need to focus on.
Dave LaMonaco, tell our listeners what's happening at TerrapinTimes.com on this Monday.
So it's a dead recruiting period right now for football. They'll probably get, you know, commits will probably come in just as the summer goes on. They've got some kids that are coming in from Friendship Collegiate and some other areas down in D.C. who might commit. So that's always good. So we've got a lot of recruiting news on the football front. And then basketball obviously is picking up, too, with summer live sessions for AAU and such. We've had guys out there scouting those guys, some of Maryland's top local hoops targets. So we have news on that and football recruiting. And then previews for fall camp coming up in August. And that's at TerrapinTimes.com.
He's Dave LaMonaco. Dave, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave LaMonaco, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw coming up next. News from the Nats, top of the hour. Going to look at Lamar's two MVP seasons, 19 versus 23, how they compare and what to look forward to perhaps in 2024.
What are you drinking? Vinny, cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney, Mick Ultra. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody? News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who the Ravens face. Scott Reynolds, Pewter Report. Got the American League East Report coming up around 1:15. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Talk some baseball with him as we're less than a month away from the trade deadline. Orioles off tonight after getting a... Kind of slapped around a little bit on national TV.
Yeah.
They did win on national TV. Heart-pounding victory at that Saturday on Fox. But 11-2 final score. Wyatt Langford hits for the cycle. Derek Hill hit a couple of homers. 1-3, 6.30 earned run average for Cole Irvin. And he closes his out with a clunker. Goes 3 2/3, 5 hits, 5 runs. Orioles do finish June 17-12. And they're in first place percentage points ahead of the Yankees. Gunnar Henderson going to play in the, or he's going to participate, I should say, in the home run derby. And by the way, phase two of the voting began yesterday. I voted during the show. I multitasked, Vinny.
Maybe I will too.
You can only vote once, though. There's no ballot, no ballot box stuffing. You can only vote once.
Huh.
But I hate that microphone. I don't want to hear the players interview during the game. I want them to play baseball. I'm not tuning in to watch Gunnar talk about playing video games, Hank Hill word, with Colton Cowser. I want him to not go over 4-4 Ks on national television. But that's just me. By the way, the June 17-12, 9 straight months with a winning record for the Orioles. So they're not sneaking up on anybody. And that whole notion is ridiculous to me. They've been good. Their winning percentage is over 600 for 2 years now. Over 2 calendar years, they're the defending American League champs. They won 101 games last year, and they're on pace to eclipse that here this season. They do need pitching, as we all know. We just wait to see now who could become available. Let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling?
Doing good, actually. Made the last-second decision to go to the game on Saturday night.
How'd you get a ticket?
Resale market. You're right, technically a sellout. We were sitting there in left field upper deck. Didn't matter what view we had, just to be there for that Kerstad Grand Slam. Amazing moment. One of the best moments I've had at Camden Yards in years, easily.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, he showed out on national TV, had 2 hits again last night.
Yep.
Heston Kerstad proving he belongs. I mean, as we look at trade chips, real small sample size. With Kerstad, though, but are we more reluctant to deal him than we would have been, say, 3 weeks ago?
Well, now that he's on fire, yeah. The fan base is going to be saying, why would you trade him? But, you know, it is boosting his value if there was to be a trade. So the way that Elias and company feels about him, in my mind, probably hasn't changed over the last week. The way they felt about him before they called him up a couple weeks ago is probably the same way they feel about him now. So their plans are their plans. It remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll follow along with great interest. Maybe Bob Nightingale has some intel for us coming up here at 1 o'clock. From USA Today, ready to go to that funhouse, Nolan?
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here, Jerry, says, I think the Orioles need a starter more than they do relief help at this point. If your weakest starters are only going to go a couple innings, that's going to have a worse snowball effect on the entire bullpen, taxing all those arms. I would take an occasional blown save or a meltdown and a setup opportunity over a completely worn out bullpen.
Well, I'm going to get selfish. I want both.
Yes.
I want one of each. It's not against the rules. And I speculate it could be wrong. Get a starter, Urban or Suarez. They move to the bullpen. Bolster you there because Vespi got lit up last night. Crook got lit up last night. Cano's been having a shaky go of it as of late. You know, to me, the bullpen, Kimbrel's the least of their worries. My humble opinion.
Yeah. But then his walks.
But he gets out of it for the most part. But we need, the Orioles need one of each. One of each. I'll have onion rings and french fries, if you don't mind.
There you go. This one here, talking about Elias, the deadline strategy. Going back to last year, Texter says, I don't think he made any mistakes with the lack of big moves last year. He knows a lot more about what went on during the deadline than we do as fans. Took a franchise that was near death, built it up to the strongest team in the majors. I'll trust him and his opinion until he shows me otherwise.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In Mike, we trust. And he's working the phones. It's been written about by everyone that covers the team. It's not like he's just sitting around going, when's the trade deadline? Oh, I guess I better get on it now, huh? He's been doing this for quite some time. I mean, his starting pitchers have been dropping like flies for a month. I mean, Dee Kramer hasn't pitched in a month. Tyler Wells has been out since April. He knows what time it is. We'll just see what he's willing to sacrifice, who's going to be available, with a lot of other teams looking to do exactly what the Orioles are doing, bringing in pitching here.
I'm sure he's sitting there right now, and it's like, you want him and him?
Depending on who's being offered, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a, yeah.
I mean, I'm not breaking the bank for Garrett Crochet by any stretch of the imagination. A guy's never started before this year. He's already had Tommy John surgery.
Oh, they were talking big about him last night.
Yeah, okay. Let's see how he taps out in September at 150 innings, if he even gets that far. I'll offer you one for him. Like Tarek Skubal? I'll let you look at the menu a little bit. Not that Detroit's going to be trading him anytime soon.
This texter here, not pleased with the in-game interview, just like you last night.
I'm with you there, texter.
Even went as far as to say, I hope ESPN never gets another Orioles Sunday Night Baseball game to interview Gunnar Henderson while he's trying to concentrate on the game. Was appalling. I can't believe the Orioles approved this. Luckily, nothing bad happened when they're asking him, who would you rather be stranded on a deserted island with?
Yeah, right.
If you want to interview between innings, that's fine, but not when the game is going on.
And not only do they do the dopey interview, which they get paid for, which, hey, God bless them.
Yeah, and 10 grand.
But I want my day baseball on Sundays. This is me. I'm being selfish, petulant. I'm being a Karen. How dare I want to speak to your manager. I went day baseball with the Orioles because usually they shove the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Cubs down your throats anyway.
Yep.
All right, I'll take a Saturday national TV game, Saturday night Fox. I'm cool with that. But Sunday night baseball, leave my team alone. Leave Brittany alone.
And had the game not been moved yesterday, probably would have been another sellout, just like Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people said Sunday night, I've got to work tomorrow. That's why it was so empty.
Okay. I want the game at 1:30 every Sunday. Unless it's a World Series game, then I'll gladly take a night game.
Right. Always exceptions.
Correct.
Before we hit the break here, I got more giveaways going on this week. A couple weeks ago, we gave away Bowie Bay Sox tickets. I've got more Bowie Bay Sox tickets here. This time, 4 tickets to every winner. Not a pair.
Oh, wow.
4 tickets to every winner, and we're giving away our first set of 4 right now. I want caller number 6 at 410-583-1057. Again, 410-583-1057. 4 tickets here to any Bowie Bay Sox game this season.
Speaking of winners, Lamar Jackson's won two Most Valuable Player awards, including 2023. Vinny's going to compare the MVP seasons, which sadly both ended similarly, losing home playoff games. But what needs to happen in 2024 year two with Todd Monken's offense? And he's got a feature back. Could this finally be the year that someone other than Lamar leads the Ravens in rushing? And would that be a good thing, by the way? Four.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney, Michultra. Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody? News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Ravens face. Scott Reynolds, Pewter Report. Got the American League East report coming up around 1:15. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Talk some baseball with him as we're less than a month away from the trade deadline. Orioles off tonight after getting kind of slapped around a little bit on national TV.
Yeah.
They did win on national TV. Heart-pounding victory at that Saturday on Fox, but 11-2 final score. Wyatt Langford hits for the cycle. Derek Hill hit a couple of homers. 1-3, 6.30 earned run average for Cole Irvin, and he closes his out with a clunker. Goes three out of two-thirds, five hits, five runs. Orioles do finish June 17-12, and they're in first place percentage points ahead of the Yankees. Gunnar Henderson going to play in the, or he's going to participate, I should say, in the home run derby. And by the way, phase two of the voting began yesterday. I voted during the show. I multitasked, Vinny.
Maybe you can, I will too.
You can only vote once, though. There's no ballot, no ballot box stuffing. You can only vote once. But I hate that microphone. I don't want to hear the players interview during the game. I want them to play baseball. I'm not tuning in to watch Gunnar talk about playing video games, Hank Hill word, with Colton Cowser. I want him to not go over 4-4-Ks on national television. But that's just me. By the way, the June 17-12, nine straight months with a winning record for the Orioles. So they're not sneaking up on anybody, and that whole notion is ridiculous to me. They've been good. Their winning percentage is over 600 for 2 years now. Over two calendar years, they're the defending American League champs. They won 101 games last year, and they're on pace to eclipse that here this season. They do need pitching, as we all know. We just wait to see now who could become available. Let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling?
Doing good, actually. Made the last-second decision to go to the game on Saturday night.
How'd you get a ticket?
Resale market. It was, yeah, you're right, technically a sellout. We were sitting there in left field upper deck. Didn't matter what view we had, just to be there for that Kerstad Grand Slam. Amazing moment. One of the best moments I've had at Camden Yards in years, easily.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, he showed out on national TV, had two hits again last night.
Yep.
Heston Kerstad proving he belongs. I mean, as we look at trade chips, real small sample size. With Kerstad, though, but are we more reluctant to deal him than we would have been, say, 3 weeks ago?
Well, now that he's on fire, the fan base is going to be saying, why would you trade him? But, you know, it is boosting his value if there was to be a trade. So the way that Elias and company feels about him, in my mind, probably hasn't changed over the last week. The way they felt about him before they called him up a couple weeks ago is probably the same way they feel about him now. So their plans are their plans. It remains to be seen.
It will follow along with great interest. Maybe Bob Nightingale has some intel for us coming up here at 1 o'clock from USA Today. You ready to go to that funhouse, Nolan?
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here, Jerry, says, I think the Orioles need a starter more than they do relief help at this point. If your weakest starters are only going to go a couple innings, that's going to have a worse snowball effect on the entire bullpen, taxing all those arms. I would take an occasional blown save or a meltdown and a setup opportunity over a completely worn out bullpen.
Well, I'm going to get selfish. I want both.
Yes.
I want one of each. It's not against the rules, and I speculated, could be wrong. Get a starter, Irvin or Suarez. They move to the bullpen, bolster you there, because Vespi got lit up last night. Crook got lit up last night. Cano's been having a shaky go of it as of late. You know, to me, the bullpen, Kimbrel's the least of their worries. My humble opinion.
Yeah. But then his walks.
Maybe he gets out of it for the most part. But we need, the Orioles need one of each. One of each. I'll have onion rings and french fries, if you don't mind.
There you go. This one here, talking about Elias, the deadline strategy. Going back to last year, Texter says, I don't think he made any mistakes with the lack of big moves last year. He knows a lot more about what went on during the deadline than we do as fans. Took a franchise that was near death, built it up to the strongest team in the majors. I'll trust him and his opinion until he shows me otherwise.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In Mike, we trust that he's working the phones. It's been written about by everyone that covers the team. It's not like he's just sitting around going, when's the trade deadline? Oh, I guess I better get on it now, huh? He's been doing this for quite some time. I mean, his starting pitchers have been dropping like flies for a month. I mean, Dee Kramer hasn't pitched in a month. Tyler Wells has been out since April. He knows what time it is. We'll just see what he's willing to sacrifice, who's going to be available, with a lot of other teams looking to do exactly what the Orioles are doing, bringing in pitching here.
I'm sure he's sitting there right now, and it's like, you want him and him?
Depending on who's being offered, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a, yeah.
I mean, I'm not breaking the bank for Garrett Crochet by any stretch of the imagination. A guy's never started before this year. He's already had Tommy John surgery.
Oh, they were talking big about him last night.
Yeah, okay. Let's see how he taps out in September at 150 innings, if he even gets that far. I'll offer you one for him. Like Tarek Skubal? I'll let you look at the menu a little bit. Not that Detroit's going to be trading him anytime soon.
This texter here, not pleased with the in-game interview, just like you last night.
I'm with you there, texter.
Even went as far as to say, I hope ESPN never gets another Orioles Sunday Night Baseball game to interview Gunnar Henderson while he's trying to concentrate on the game. Was appalling. I can't believe the Orioles approved this. Luckily, nothing bad happened when they're asking him, who would you rather be stranded on a deserted island with?
Yeah, right.
If you want to interview between innings, that's fine, but not when the game is going on.
And not only do they do the dopey interview, which they get paid for, which, hey, God bless them.
Yeah, and 10 grand.
I want my day baseball on Sundays. This is me. I'm being selfish, petulant. I'm being a Karen. How dare I want to speak to your manager. I went day baseball with the Orioles because usually they shove the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Cubs down your throats anyway.
Yep.
All right, I'll take a Saturday national TV game, Saturday night Fox. I'm cool with that. But Sunday night baseball, leave my team alone. Leave Brittany alone.
And had the game not been moved yesterday, probably would have been another sellout, just like Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people said Sunday night, I've got to work tomorrow. That's why it was so empty.
Okay, I want the game at 1:30 every Sunday. Unless it's a World Series game, then I'll gladly take a night game.
Right, always exceptions.
Yes, correct.
Before we hit the break here, I got more giveaways going on this week. A couple weeks ago, we gave away Bowie Bay Sox tickets. I've got more Bowie Bay Sox tickets here. This time, 4 tickets to every winner, not a pair.
Oh, wow.
4 tickets to every winner, and we're giving away our first set of 4 right now. I want caller number 6 at 410-583-1057. Again, 410-583-1057. 4 tickets here to any Bowie Bay Sox game this season.
Speaking of winners, Lamar Jackson's won 2 Most Valuable Player awards, including 2023. Vinny's going to compare the MVP seasons, which sadly both ended similarly, losing home playoff games. But what needs to happen in 2024, year 2, with Todd Monken's offense? And he's got a feature back. Could this finally be the year that someone other than Lamar leads the Ravens in rushing? And would that be a good thing, by the way?